The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Good, thank you, Howard. How are you doing?
Yeah, excellent. I don't know, I'm a bit nervous for Israel today because it is really, really topsy-turvy. Prime Minister Netanyahu deciding to keep the defense portfolio for himself. He's trying to keep the coalition together. He's trying to prevent early elections. I can tell you from his body language last night, this guy is stressed, uncomfortable, anxious, and unhappy. What's your thoughts?
Another regular day in Israel.
Absolutely.
I'm nervous in Israel today, Howard. It's like the same as more or less yesterday and the day before and last week and last month. You know, this is how politics works in Israel. I agree, Prime Minister Netanyahu did not look comfortable, but then we've known him to be uncomfortable before today.
Absolutely.
Somehow he's a great survivor. There are reports saying he's not invincible, and people are already talking about what will happen with the next election. I'm not sure. I just don't see anybody right now truly challenging his position, not from within his party and not from outside. It just seems like he is at the moment in a league of his own. And I think that it's acknowledged both by people who like him and by those who don't like him, of which there are numerous. But he has decided to keep this defense portfolio for himself. And this means there's going to be a little bit of drama today, because as we know, the Beit HaYehudi leader, Naftali Bennett, has demanded the portfolio for himself. He immediately put himself forward. We spoke about this last week. And as a result of Netanyahu's decision and announcement yesterday to keep the defense portfolio for himself, he is now the Minister of Defense, in addition to being the Minister of Health, in addition to being the Foreign Minister, and in addition to being the Prime Minister. Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked, who are the two ministers appointed from within the Beit HaYehudi party, they have called a press conference for 10:30 this morning. And the speculation is that they're going to resign from the government, and they are going to withdraw from the coalition. And if they withdraw from the coalition, that effectively puts us on a path with an early election. That, I think, will be the ultimate outcome, if that's what they choose to do. And it's been a bit topsy-turvy, as you say, because within the defense ministry was the deputy defense minister who came from within the Beit HaYehudi party as well. And he is Eli Ben-Dahan. Now, when the defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, resigned last week, it effectively triggered the resignation of the deputy minister automatically. And the Beit HaYehudi party asked the cabinet to vote to reinstate Eli Ben-Dahan as the deputy defense minister, which they did not do. So there is a lot of consternation within the Beit HaYehudi party at the moment as members of the coalition, and Naftali Bennett certainly is not a happy person with what's going on, and he has the ability to bring the coalition down if he withdraws from the coalition, and he has the ability to effectively put the country onto a course for early elections. Having said that, even if an election was announced today, I think there would need to be a three-month period of campaigning and of primaries and things like that until an election could take place. So we wouldn't expect to see an election any time before February or March of next year in any event, bearing in mind that the latest date that we could have an election would be November of next year. So it is a little earlier, but not a great deal earlier than we might have expected. But certainly, you know, it's not going to be a quiet day on the political front today, and Netanyahu came out very strongly yesterday saying that he's going to keep the defense portfolio for himself, even though he perhaps looked stressed and a little nervous. But he also went to the Kiryat, which is the military headquarters in Tel Aviv, yesterday to hold his first briefings with the military personnel, with the Chief of General Staff, Lieutenant General Gadi Eisenkot. So he really was entrenching himself in that defense position immediately. I think it's almost unheard of for a prime minister to hold so many different portfolios, but he did say that he is planning to appoint a defense foreign minister. I'm sorry. Mm. Now, we know that Prime Minister Netanyahu has held the foreign ministry portfolio for himself since the election. He never appointed a foreign minister at all in the current government. And all of a sudden now, he's decided that perhaps he should appoint a foreign minister. And there is some speculation about the fact that he will appoint a foreign minister today in order to try and stave off the possibility of an early election. And we expect that foreign minister will probably come from within the Likud party itself. But all in all, I think his government is certainly looking precarious at the moment. A lot of people who are not happy with what's going on. And, you know, to bring an election forward by 6 or 7 months, as would be the case, if the election was called in the next short while, is considered to be almost a full-term government by Israeli standards, because it's very common for governments to be shortened and for it not to see through its full time.
Anthony, just a couple of questions on my side, two completely unrelated, but I'd like to hear your thoughts anyway. One is, isn't Naftali Bennett playing quite a dangerous game here in terms of a gamble? Because if he's the reason that the coalition doesn't survive, and it most likely it's looking like he will be that reason, Israel goes to the polls and let's say a completely alternative government, a left government, a more center-left government, comes into play, it is going to he will ultimately be blamed for having achieved this. So that means he's got to be relatively confident that he's going to do well in the next election, and that he won't be blamed for an outcome that isn't a particularly good one, because he's making a very, very powerful decision here. That's the first question. The second one relates back to Netanyahu's government. The fact that he needs to assume all of these positions indicates one of two things, or possibly both, in that he doesn't have good alternatives within the Likud party, and the party itself isn't as strong as it should be in terms of a strong base of talent, or it means he is unable to relinquish control personality-wise, and just is could be in danger of micromanaging a government, which of course is quite a dangerous move. What's your thoughts on both of those?
Well, it's interesting that you talk about, you know, the game that Naftali Bennett is playing, because, in fact, Netanyahu did refer to something along those lines by talking about when the Shamir government in 1992 was toppled also by resignations from the coalition, and it led to the formation of a Labour government in 1992 after that election. So, you know, Netanyahu's thinking is, I think, the same as yours in terms of trying to get Bennett to be a little bit cautious about the possibility of bringing the coalition down for fear that, or trying to instill some fear in him at least, that his actions of bringing the coalition down may well result in a more left-wing government. If we look at the opinion polls as they are today, that does not seem to be likely. It seems as if the Naftali Bennett's position will probably be retained or even slightly stronger. It seems as if the Likud's position will not be weakened in any significant way if we believe, you know, what the opinion polls are telling us. Having said that, the opinion polls have also been wrong in the past, and also that, you know, by the time the election comes around and all the campaigning electioneering has been done, the Israeli public could completely change their minds and vote completely differently. And, you know, it is a relatively fickle electorate that, you know, within the next 3 or 4 or 5 months, something very significant could happen which would change people's minds either one way or the other. As things stand at the moment, I would suggest that security is going to be the main electioneering issue. It's going to be the main platform. Fortunately, our economy has been very stable in recent times, and so I don't see the economy as being a major electioneering issue, because everybody feels quite comfortable. We've had a lot of people working, very low levels of unemployment. We've had economic growth. We've had a strong shekel. Some people don't like that. It hasn't been good for some people, but for the general public, it's been great to go and travel abroad with a strong shekel. So, you know, I don't think the economy is going to be the main issue, and I think that if the election is fought on security issues, that the Prime Minister will come out relatively strongly, and I think that that's what he's bargaining on the moment. Of course, having said that, things could change and anything would happen. The issue about the Prime Minister micromanaging the cabinet is a very a significant point and a problematic one. It was interesting that when he was recently travelled away and he was asked about, you know, if somebody could replace him, he said the following. He said he would be happy for somebody to replace him. There just isn't anybody coming up there to do so. And of course, you know, it's kind of tongue in cheek because I think on the one hand, he's right, as I said before, that there's nobody obvious coming through the ranks who could potentially challenge his position. But on the other hand, let's be honest, he's not exactly cultivating a situation. He's not grooming somebody to take over from him. He's quite happy where he is at the moment, and he's trying to knock down all pretenders to the crown and anybody who might come up and challenge him. So he's not really trying to lay any ground for future leadership at all. On the contrary, he's trying to keep his own position as strong as possible. But I think that Naftali Bennett, having in previous elections said he's not ready to challenge for the prime ministerial position as yet, I think now he kind of is. And I think he is trying to present himself as a potential prime minister in the future. I don't see it happening, not at the next election and probably not at the election after that, because I don't see his party getting enough support in order to put him into the prime minister's office. Mm. But certainly Bennett, I think, is coming up to try and challenge the prime minister.
Absolutely fascinating. We'll, of course, keep a very close eye on that. I was telling our listeners earlier about this Al Al story, and just to tell you briefly, Anthony, when I heard about the story Friday afternoon, the flight that was meant to land in Rome continued because there was a critically ill passenger. Then there was, of course, all the negativity around the Athens flight. When I turned on my phone after the Sabbath, after Shabbat, there was a tremendous amount of accusations around religious Jews and Haredim and how they were treating the Al Al staff. And then a couple of hours later, you started seeing an alternative narrative, which made me very upset, because this was such an example of the power of the press in terms of emotive responses. And I fell victim to all of those emotions. Give us your view.
Well, I've actually spoken to someone who was on the plane. Mm-hmm. And so I had a first-hand view of what happened on that flight. Just to summarize what the circumstances were, huge snowfall in New York, I think last week on Thursday, which really caused a lot of traffic chaos and issues at the airport at JFK. We know that there are flights that come back to Israel leaving New York late on Thursday evening or even on Friday morning and getting back to Israel just before Shabbat or in the hours before Shabbat. And of course, these are very popular flights for people to come back late, mostly Thursday night and flying back into Israel during the afternoon on Friday for people to be able to return from the US to Israel before Shabbat. Now, of course, there always is the issue of what happens if the plane is delayed, and especially in these winter months when Shabbat is very, very early. This week, Shabbat came in at around 4:30. So there is always the issue about what happens if the plane is delayed. And of course, the situation was exactly that. The plane I'm talking about now, the plane that was ultimately diverted to Athens, was delayed by about 5 hours, taking off from JFK. And there was a lot of consternation about whether the flight would in fact reach Israel before Shabbat or not. And the thing that really struck me from the first-hand account that I heard of people who were on the plane is that the Al Al team, the Al Al plane, the crew, the company, it seems not to have behaved particularly well here. And the reason for that is because, first of all, I understand that the crew were very late in getting to the plane. Mm-hmm. In fact, they arrived even after the time of departure that the plane was supposed to leave for Israel. And so, therefore, you know, even though the weather was bad and even though there was a lot of issues going on at JFK, I mean, the plane had no chance of taking off on time, even with the best will in the world, because the crew didn't arrive on time. And I don't understand why that's the case. I mean, I understand that New York was under snow and it was all very difficult to travel and all the rest of it, but it seems as if, though, a lot of the passengers managed to get there on time. And so one has to ask the question as to why it is that the crew were caught up like that and why Al Al doesn't have alternative plans, getting the crew onto trains, onto subways, onto whatever they need to do instead of driving them, because this is not okay. So this is the first thing. The second thing was that the passengers seem to have been delayed on the plane for about 5 hours, or at least for 2 hours on the runway once it left the gate. And then at one point, after much negotiation, The passengers were told that the plane is actually returning to the gate to allow those to get off who don't want to travel into Shabbat. And with that, the plane just took off without another word. So people had no choice. They were actually trapped there, and they had been misled by the crew. I know we've run out of time, but this is really a story which is unfortunate. And as you say, Howard, unfortunately, the press has been used to create a lot of negativity, and a lot of people have been blamed who really don't deserve to take the blame.
Has Al made any official statements about this before I let you go?
The only thing that I've heard from Al is that they've approached the police to charge certain passengers for behaving badly on the plane, for violence, which apparently there was a very tense atmosphere on the plane. I don't know that there was violence, but things were certainly very tense. And to be honest, I think you could justify that because the crew effectively were not honest with the passengers, and that's very unfortunate.
I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. It's just after 8 o'clock. I do apologize. You're news is slightly late. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. Here's your news with Sanati.